Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
I'm the girl.
And I'm Tristan Riddell.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 19.
That's right, episode 19. We've been doing this 19 times now. And if you might, as you might have noticed, if you're a devotee of the podcast, this is a day late and we greatly apologize that it's
sorry.
A day late. We're so sorry. We didn't skip the week.
That's right.
You know,
so it'll be like a little surprise.
Absolutely. Like some people might have think, oh no, they've abandoned us. But no, we're just a little late. As you know, life gets in the way sometimes. Well, we want to talk about something that isn't getting in our way, and that is five-star reviews, because we have another one.
That's right.
Five-star reviewer Mandoli wrote in, and we thank you so much for taking the time. This individual said that the name caught their attention first, and that they've been hooked since episode one.
It's awesome.
And we greatly appreciate you taking the time to write the review as well as listen to every single episode thus far. And it is because of you, people like you, and the people listening, writing us a review, retweeting us, talking about us on Facebook, and talking about us with your friends and recommending. That is why we are where we are today.
Thank you.
Now, what our main topic today, which we'll get to later in the episode, is something that I never really thought that we'd be able to talk about, because it is about Star Trek II, Star Trek III, and Star Trek IV, also known as Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, and Voyage Home.
I know, I surprised you.
It was your idea to watch them.
It's true.
And for those of you who don't know, that the reason why we didn't watch 1 or 5 or 6 is because that is the unofficial trilogy of Star Trek, where it's one continuous story. What starts in 2 ends in 4. And it's just it's a great set of movies, and the girl and I watched them. But before we get into that, it got us watching these, and me constantly dogging you to watch them, got us thinking about another topic that we want to talk about, and that is recommending TV and film to friends and family.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, you always have recommended Star Trek to me, and I basically was like, I'm going to gift you with watching those movies. Plus, it was our anniversary this weekend, so I figured, what better anniversary gift than to watch those movies with you? Huh. It was a good gift, right?
It was a great gift, because I was quite surprised, because I was at work,
mm-hmm.
and you texted me, and you said, hey, let's watch Wrath of Khan tonight. And actually, no, you said Wrath of Khan is in the theater right now.
Yeah.
There's a theater near our house. And it was that night, though, and it was only that night. And so we didn't have enough lead time.
All the good seats were gone.
Yeah, all the good seats were gone. And I didn't, all that was left was front row.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want your first experience of watching Wrath of Khan front row with your neck all cramped
up. Well,
and
I knew it was a gamble to even suggest going to the theater because of your love-hate relationship with the theater. And so I also offered to watch it at home with you. And when I offered that, I knew that that was going to be your choice.
Well, see, that's the thing is that, like, I really did struggle with that decision because I've never seen it in the theater. And mm-hmm. everyone, like, tons of my friends who are fans love seeing it in the theater. Like, out of all the Star Trek movies, this is their favorite to see in the theaters. And so I didn't want to miss that opportunity, but I'm sure it'll come up again. What happened was there is actually more of an ordeal to this because this show is called Nerd Nuptial. I can talk about this nitty gritty nerd stuff, and I know that it's going to be appreciated because of our listener base. But so what happened was is that when you suggested that, I was like, oh well, you know, they just released a remastered edition on Blu-ray of Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, and you replied with.
What did I reply with?
Oh,
I remember.
You said like, oh, of course, your Blu-ray copy that you already have isn't good enough.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I said, no, it's not. But so I was like, well, I can't order it off of Amazon. you know, because then it won't get here by tonight.
Yeah, you were afraid I would change my mind, which was entirely possible.
I was terrified that you were going to change your mind. Because when you say, hey, let's watch this thing that you've been asking me for years to watch, you don't say, eh, maybe tomorrow, because tomorrow will never come.
That's right. Nope.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just go to Best Buy. Even though I don't like going to Best Buy anymore.
You used to love Best Buy.
Used to be my store. I know. The people there knew me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is not an exaggeration. People. Like, yeah. I would walk into Best Buy and they would call me by name. They'd say, hey, Tristan, how's it going? I go, hey, Francis. Hey, Teddy. What's up? They knew me. It was like Cheers every single time I walked into Best Buy. And it was awesome.
That shows how much money you spent there.
That's besides the point. But it was... But the thing is, like, the past 10 times I've been there, they've been failing me miserably.
Yeah, for a long time.
They've completely shrunk their movie section, and they're focusing more on appliances and also computers. Mm-hmm. Like, computers and appliances. And I remember we used to walk in, and there would be rows and rows and rows of movies and music, and now it's just not there.
Nope.
And... I was like, okay, well, you know, now they're doing, they actually reinstated the price matching on Amazon.
Oh.
Or, I mean, at Best Buy with Amazon.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I'll just pick it up there. And I get there, and it's not there. They had 10 different versions of Star Wars, and one single copy of Star Trek Into Darkness. That's the only thing they had Star Trek-wise at Best Buy.
That's too bad.
They had the Steelbook edition of every single Star Wars film. They had 3 different multi-packs. And yet, this re-release just got released on remastered Blu-ray and nowhere to be seen. I was clearly upset. And I actually went and complained on Twitter. I said, surprise, surprise, Best Buy doesn't have Wrath of Khan on remastered. And Best Buy support actually messaged me back. And said, oh, well, really sorry you couldn't find it at your local store, but you can order it here. You know, they're trying to be helpful. And I, like a jerk, responded with, you mean just like I can do that on Amazon?
You're so mean. Oh. That's so jerky.
That's the thing. That was supposed to be the beauty of Best Buy, is that it's a brick and mortar store.
Right.
And if I don't want to wait for Amazon,
right,
I can go and pick it up.
Yeah.
But anyway, champagne problems.
That's right.
I just went on a long tirade about that.
Yeah, you did. That was a really long
time. You have not spoken a lot yet, and I apologize to the listener for me drowning
you out.
It's okay.
I was not going to interrupt that rant. There was no room for me in that rant. That was all you, baby.
But I came home, and I'm like, I guess I'll just have to use my normal Blu-ray. Which still looks amazing.
I was going to say, it's still Blu-ray.
It still looked good. I don't, like, people keep telling me online, they're like, no, you gotta watch the remastered. It's great. Yeah. And I was just, as I was watching the 2009 version of the release, I was just like, hey, this is pretty good. I don't know how this gets any better.
People will tell you that it does, though.
People will tell me. Yeah. But the thing is, and I'll believe them because I'm a pixel junkie. But so, popped it in. What made you, like, was it just pure, it's our anniversary, and I want to gift him with this? Or did you have curiosity about Wrath of Khan?
I'm not going to lie. I was trying to be nice to you. And since I saw that it was in a theater and that night, I was like, oh, that would be really nice. I'm going to be nice. And so I made the choice to be nice to you. And you turned me down. But I...
Not fair.
But I figured I can't take it away now that I mentioned it.
It's true.
So I decided, okay, I'll still be nice and I will, you know, oblige you and let you watch it at home and we'll watch it together. And notice I will be
how,
honest.
Notice how she said that, folks? Let me watch it at home.
But after, I asked to watch the other one.
That's true. Like, so, after we watched it, you, like, as soon as the credits started rolling... Like, you had a smile on your face.
I did.
And you said, wow, that was good.
Yeah.
Like, and you would not tell me.
No.
Let me rephrase that. You would tell me if you didn't
like
it.
Yes, I would.
Like,
I would.
You have no qualms with telling me that something I love sucks.
I was trying to be nice that day, but when it comes to my opinion, mm-hmm, I don't have to be nice.
No, you don't. And nor do I expect you to. I don't want you to lie to me about what you like or dislike. Right. But... and I was over the moon. I was on cloud nine for the rest of the night and the next day, because I was like, my wife likes Wrath of Khan. This is great. I never thought this would happen.
Well, it also made me like really sad, more sad about Into Darkness. Like I had like a whole new outlook on Into Darkness. I was like, wow, they really failed.
That was really fun. That was the first thing out of your mouth was, wow, this is really good. I totally understand your hatred of Into Darkness.
Yeah,
now.
It made me like completely understand why you were so disappointed. Whereas, you know, the first time I watched Into Darkness, I was just like, oh yeah, it's fine, it's good.
Yeah.
And now I totally get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. So what do you think makes Wrath of Khan better than Into Darkness?
It has a cohesive storyline.
There's that.
Beginning, middle, and end. The characters are well developed and actually like have a purpose and fulfill their purposes.
And motivation.
Motivation, yeah.
Clear motivation.
Character development, yeah. Mm-hmm. All those good things.
All those good things that make up a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All those, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was so happy that you liked it. And I mean, you had concise and accurate reasoning as to why you liked it. Mm-hmm. You said like, this is well-directed, you know, great character depth. It gives these characters justice, you know, like it, you know, like this is how they're supposed to be.
Right.
And as much as I like the J.J. Abrams, Into Darkness just still leaves a sour taste in my mouth. We were supposed to talk about recommendations first.
We were,
I just now realized
but
that.
We totally did it backwards. That's okay.
Sorry,
we're just kind of going.
We're just kind of going. Okay. Well, we're talking Star Trek now. So you wanted to, like, not only did you like Wrath of Khan, you're like, okay, let's
I'm
keep
in.
Going.
I'm in. Let's do this.
Yeah, I was really surprised because it wasn't even me saying, like, you need to see Search of Spock. I was like, oh, just so you know, there's this thing called an unofficial trilogy that continues the storyline. And you love it when sequels pick up right where they left off.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite things. And so that was cool to see that in each of them.
Yeah, every single iteration from 2, 3, and 4, it just picked up right where it left off.
Yeah, that was very cool.
And with that in mind, like, I was worried about Search for Spock. I love Search for Spock. It's one of my favorites. But on the totem pole of fan appreciation, it's kind of on the low side usually.
Okay.
And so I was kind of warning you. I was like, so you know, it's kind of cheesy. It's a little slow in parts. Robin Curtis is kind of the Sofia Coppola of Star Trek.
See, she didn't really bother me. She didn't bother me like Kirstie Alley did.
Yeah, that's the thing is that...
Kirstie Alley just annoyed me. I was like, eh.
Watching it again, like, because it's been a little while since I've seen these movies. And I don't know why, because I used to watch them all the time, but it's been a couple years. Oh, that's right, I got married.
You're so... Unbelievable. Talking about how nice I am watching this with you.
Like, unwarranted.
That's right.
But yeah, like watching it again, I'm just kind of like, wow, I'm looking at Robin Curtis's Savick in a different light, and I'm looking at Kirstie Alley in a different light. I think because Kirstie Alley was the originator, you know, the first, I was kind of like, oh, that's how Savick is, and Robin Curtis completely went a different direction. But
I think there's like a happy medium that should be in there, you know?
I think you're right.
But I don't know, Kirstie Alley just annoyed me.
There is a happy medium in Star Trek VI. Where they introduce a new female Vulcan that was originally supposed to be Savick, but then they change the name at the last second, and you'll see why once you see the movie. But I think that happy medium is there. But yeah, Kirstie Alley, I don't think, got what it meant to be a Vulcan, and I think Robin Curtis kind of overdid it.
Mm-hmm.
She was a little too wooden.
Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, and so I said all these things. I was like, cheesy, it's slow, it's okay. But you said you were entertained.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, if we're giving order, which I think I can at this point, it was definitely, I felt like we watched Wrath of Khan and then Search for Spock and then Journey Home.
Voyage Home.
Voyage Home, sorry.
Jeez.
I know.
Jeez, girl.
Such a noob. I think the whales, I don't know. I don't know. The whales were a little cheesy to me.
This is so surprising to me.
It was kind of like, really?
That is so...
We need to get some whales.
That is so crazy because...
And then the female, Jillian, right?
Yeah.
She annoyed me.
I, Okay, this, I had no idea that you were going to feel this way. Because,
like, you talk about cheese. That one has way more cheese than the other one.
No, this has, it's more fun, not just, it's not cheese. Like, there are certain moments in Search for Spock that I think are cheesy when they're trying to be dramatic. Or, but the thing is, in Voyage Home, it knows what it is. It's funny. It's a sci-fi comedy.
It reminded me a lot of the Planet of the Apes movie where they go back in time, forward in time. You know, talking about with the
Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah. And you always really liked that movie. Uh-huh. That one was not one of my favorites. It kind of reminded me of that. I mean, then the time travel thing. I mean, of course, but I don't know where it's unnatural because they're in a weird environment and they're trying to emphasize that.
When we started this journey together.
Yes.
I honestly.
You mean in our marriage or relationship or just like.
No, just these 3 months.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Like, I seriously thought, I was like, okay, as long as I get her to Voyage Home, as long as I get her to Voyage Home, I'll have her hooked. Because Voyage Home is the movie that every non-fan knows. Like, whenever somebody finds out that I'm a Star Trek fan, they try to be nice and they try to relate to me. And I say, I was like, oh yeah, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. They're like, oh, the first question is, do you go to conventions? And I go, yes, I do. Second question is, do you dress up? And I go, no, screw you. I'm not a stereotype, even though it's totally cool to dress up. I'm not knocking
that. I was going
to
say.
And then the third question, the third thing is like, oh, I love the whales one.
Because that's the only one they probably know.
That's the only one that they know. And so because it was such a big hit, it was the most profitable and successful Star Trek movie ever made until J.J. Abrams came in 2009. And so, like, because you're a non-fan, because you don't like Star Trek generally, I thought this would be your movie. I am just so entertained that you like Wrath of Khan more than Voyage Home as a non-fan. I think that's cool. I mean, I'm not judging you whatsoever. You like what you like.
Yeah, I don't know. The whales just seemed a little cheesy to me.
As I was watching it, because, again, it's been a long time since sure. I've seen it, I was like, damn it, this is a good movie. Like, I was just... I was just floored. I was like, man, this is so good. No wonder this is a successful film. I was just jazzing
and then
time.
I get done with it. I'm like,
you're like,
whales.
And I said, and I even like, I like, as the credits were going on, like the opening credits, I said, I was like, oh yeah, you know, Catherine Hicks, the mom from Seventh Heaven, she's in it. And you're like, what? And I was like, no, she's cool. She's cool. You'll like her. And that was the first comment that you had at the end of the movie. You're like, I didn't like her and her whales.
Talk about one-dimensional.
I liked her. I thought she was spunky.
All right, whatever.
That's cool. But yeah, so...
So speaking of recommendations, so I took some of your recommendations.
Yes, you did.
And I liked them on the whole, for sure. And I really liked Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
So we were kind of talking about how people recommend things to us all the time. Constantly. Especially having this show.
Yes.
And when we talk about stuff that we have not watched, people are like, what? No, you need to watch that. Like, it's our job. And it's funny because even our parents, like my mom listened to our Disney episode and she was like, you haven't seen Cinderella?
What?
What? And then she made us buy it, Cinderella, which was really
she
funny.
She made us, we were having dinner with her and she made us buy it digitally in her presence.
That's right. Because she already has watched it again. We have not watched it yet.
No, not yet. Maybe we'll do that tonight.
That's right. But we are trying to be more open. And I think even watching those Star Trek movies, I decided I'm going to be more open to recommendations. And so we kind of thought about talking about, you know, being open to recommendations, what recommendations we've taken, what recommendations we did not like, which recommendations we're so glad that we took, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we definitely want to hear from you and hear some more recommendations that you'd like to, you know, and throw at us here.
Yeah, not only recommendations that you have for us that you know that we haven't seen, but also recommendations that you've been given.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think the ones that have failed miserably are much more satisfying to hear than the ones that have succeeded.
True.
So, yeah, the first thing, oh man, what is the first? Okay, well, all right, I guess one thing that we watched recently was Zootopia.
Okay, yeah.
And that was recommended to me by a fellow co-host, Matt Hansen. And, oh yeah, everybody else on the planet. this movie got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. And this movie was everywhere. Like, everybody was talking about this movie. Everyone said this was an amazing movie. It was so fantastic. You need to watch. You need to watch. You need to watch. You need to watch. Need to watch, blah, 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 blah. And so we finally were like, okay. We got it online, and we started watching it on iTunes, and we watched it and we're like, okay.
That happened.
All right. Okay, cool. You know, yeah. Good movie.
There's a few laughs.
Yeah, we had a few laughs, a few chuckles. There are a few cute moments. But I feel like that one was a victim of everybody living it up too much.
Yes.
And that is a big facet of recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because if people come to you and, like, I think it's much wiser to go to people and say, I enjoyed this movie. I'd like to know your opinion on it. Thank you, sir. And then you move on. Because when you go to a person and say, man, this movie changed my life. Okay, I stopped smoking. I stopped going to strip clubs. Like, well, I saw this movie and it made me see God again. You know, like when you get that, you're just like, wow, this is probably a really good movie. And then it's just okay.
Yeah. You.
It's ruined.
If it can do all those things, then it better be awesome.
It better be amazing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because especially us being nerds, there are certain things that we are just expected to like because we're nerds. And so it's interesting. So, like, the recommendation that I bring to mind, which I think I'll probably get a lot of hate for, is a very popular nerdy show, Doctor Who. So yeah. Our friends are huge Doctor Who Whovians.
That's right. I'm surprised you even know what that means.
I'm in with it. Yeah,
you know things.
Yeah, I know things. And they recommend certain episodes to us. They're like, you will have to like these episodes.
Yeah.
These are amazing episodes.
Start with these.
Right. They were like some Christmas specials, mm-hmm. Some, you know, storylines that, you know, continued on that they really wanted us to watch. So we watched them with an open mind.
Yes.
Because we hadn't watched, you know, we were not familiar, or at least I was not familiar.
Well, I'm very familiar just because I'm a member of the online community.
Sure.
And so, like, it's just the internet is saturated with Doctor Who
stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, I never really sat down and I saw snippets here and there. My parents are into Doctor Who,
mm-hmm.
Mainly my mom. But, and so I would just see snippets here and there. But I never sat down and watched a full episode, so I couldn't judge it.
Yeah. And we did. Mm-hmm. And we watched them. And I did not like them.
No, not in the least.
I did not.
Just, it is not for us.
Yeah.
You should.
We tried. We watched enough that I feel like we gave it a good chance.
We watched 3 or 4.
Yeah, at least.
At least.
At least.
You should tell a story about that one of your students who loved Doctor Who.
You might remember it better than I do.
Well, okay, so apparently, like, there was this kid who was one of your students, and he was obsessed with Doctor Who. Like, he always had, when he wasn't talking about Doctor Who, he was reading Doctor Who.
Yes.
Like, he had novels, and he was walking around.
Yes, I remember that.
And he kept talking to you, saying, about Doctor Who, saying it was the best show ever, and that you needed to watch it. And you once told him, yeah, you keep saying that, so-and-so, but, you know, like, my husband, you know, like, he's seen it, and he doesn't think that I'll like
it. That's right.
And he replies with, he's a liar. So, in his mind,
it's amazing.
I knew, I watched it, thought my wife would love this, but I'm not going to tell her because screw her or screw that guy. That is what his brain thought.
Yes. Yes. I am totally that teacher, though. It makes me laugh because I somehow find all the nerds in my classes because, and I don't know how to necessarily know because it's not like I'm constantly talking about nerdy things in my class.
Just give off this aura.
But I apparently give off this aura that I like nerdy things. And maybe it's when I teach Ender's Game and I geek out really hard about sci-fi. It's probably what it is.
That could be it.
And like always like the nerds filter towards me and like talk about the newest, you know, nerdy films with me. But it's just funny that, yeah, they will recommend things to me constantly. But that one was definitely the funniest when he was like, no, he's wrong. He's a liar.
He's a liar.
That's awesome.
He's depriving you of joy.
That's right. That's right. So that one kind of fell flat for me. And I think, you know, I've talked about before how I don't really like cheesy things. Yeah. And Doctor Who I mean, come on, Whovians, you know it has cheese.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of its charm, yeah. Right? Is that it has cheese, and, you know, you love that. But, yeah, for me, I just couldn't get into it.
No, we couldn't get into it. And, like, it's so funny because, like, I'll meet people at conventions or out in the real world, and they're so used to it being a common point
mm-hmm.
between nerds where they're just like, oh, well, obviously you're a Doctor Who fan, right? And I go, no. And they just kind of get this faint look of pain on their face. And then they try to move on to the next subject. I think, I met some couple and they asked me that. They're like, are you a Doctor Who fan? And I go, no, I'm not. And they go, oh, well, we have a shop that has the largest selection of Doctor Who merchandise in the United States. So check it out if you want. They were so disappointed.
Aww.
But I told them, I was like, I have friends who live right near there. I'll tell them about it.
You know? Yeah, so. Absolutely.
But yeah, so we're not big Doctor Who fans. But one recommendation that really struck a chord with us was Fringe.
Oh, yeah.
My sister was a fan of Fringe, mm-hmm. is a fan of Fringe. The basically a new age version of the X-Files. That's pretty much what Fringe was.
Basically.
And she told me, like, and I was very surprised that she liked the show because sci-fi is not really her wheelhouse. And but she really liked Josh Jackson,
yeah,
because she's a big Dawson's Creek fan, and so that drew her to it. And she liked it, and I think by season two, she said, season one is great, you gotta watch this, get it on Blu-ray. So we started renting it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we started buying it, and and then we started watching it live, and...
Yeah, love it.
We love the first three seasons.
Yes, and then it kind of went downhill from there.
Downhill fast.
It did, but that was an awesome recommendation, for
Yeah,
sure.
Because we became obsessed with that show.
We did.
Like, we would talk about that show for hours after we
watched
it.
Oh, yeah, are you kidding?
And hypothesize about what was going to happen
Such
next,
good sci-fi.
And what's the plan, and what's going on.
Yeah, sci-fi, you know, crime scene. I don't know, it was awesome.
Great sci-fi world. I've often thought about rewatching that because...
Yeah, I want to.
We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we should. Are you going to bring up that episode that I hate?
Okay, I guess maybe we should. Because I tweeted this the other day where I tweeted... Sometimes I'll tweet our conversations and you don't know it.
What? What?
But so I tweeted and I'll
exposed.
I'll bleep myself because what it was I just put in quotes, Tristan, that is not effing brilliant. It's effed up. And then I put - the girl to me just now. And Matt Hansen immediately texted me and said, okay, I have to know what you guys are talking about. And we were talking about an episode of Fringe. Okay, so there's this...
Okay, so an episode that scarred me. Like, I cannot get these images out of my head. Like,
worse than the X-Files episode Home.
Yes, and that one's my least favorite of the X-Files.
And
that
could be my favorite episode of
that. Messed me up, okay? So there's this, like, serial... No, he's not really... Well, okay. Yeah, why don't you explain it?
Here's the thing, is that you have said on this show, like, multiple times that sci-fi violence, zombie violence, and things
don't
like
care.
That does not get to you. Doesn't faze you. You do not lose any sleep.
No.
But serial killers and psychopaths and everything like that freaks you out.
It messes with my head.
It messes with your head because it's more real. Like, you can see that happening. Like, you can't see killer butterflies with razor wings chopping up somebody, but you can understand somebody chopping up some fingers and eating them for dinner. You know.
Ew.
Sorry, that was the X-Files episode. But anyway, there was this guy who was obsessed with a ballerina dancer, and she died, and so he
and her organs were donated.
Yes.
Okay. To all these different people, and then he starts killing all the people who had her organs to reassemble her and reanimate her.
Yes, like Frankenstein.
And it is so messed up. I can't even tell you.
But
and
the scene that screwed you up the most.
I can't even handle it. Stop talking about it.
We started this. I got to finish it. I wasn't going to bring this up. You brought this up. Okay? So you have to live with it. There was a scene where he takes her corpse, ties it up, and dances her around like a marionette puppet.
Yes.
And it was freaking amazing.
And so, okay, I will confess, I sometimes dance like a robot.
you dance like a marionette.
Yeah,
puppet.
I dance like
you
a do it really puppet. Well. Yeah, and I love dancing like that. But then you'll get this like little gleam of like, you know, just that you're just like, you're thinking of, I can tell that you're thinking about that ballerina. And I will just freeze in my marionette state and I will say, stop it right now. Do not do that. Do not bring that up. Stop. I cannot relive that moment again.
And so I'll get up and I'll start dancing like a ballerina, but poorly, of course. But like I'll have my eyes closed and my head down and just kind of dancing around. And you relive that
messed
moment.
Messed my mind up. I'm going to have a nightmare tonight.
It was
Thanks.
So deliciously creepy.
It was disgusting and messed up.
See, that's the thing. Like, I love messed up stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like gory stuff, but I love messed up stuff.
You do.
Twisted stuff.
It's really twisted.
Blame my mother. Okay.
You say that. You have to take some responsibility.
Okay, I did. She gave me the sense of the macabre, and I took it a couple of steps further.
Yeah.
To be fair.
All right. So another recommendation.
So recommendations that kind of come our way. I mean, like Hansen has recommended tons of stuff my way. And, you know, it's kind of hit or miss because...
You won't be happy with you saying that.
I know. I didn't mean that as an insult. Like hit or miss is good in my book because he's given me some hits. Because
you're hard to please.
I am very hard to please. But the thing is, like, I have people who have recommended stuff and just have missed the mark constantly, and one of them is Lee. I'm just gonna say it right here and now. The guy likes high rise, so his opinion means nothing to me. Okay, he might as well be dead to me.
Oh my gosh. But how can he guest on our show then?
I love you, Lee. Anyway, yes, so what were you talking about? Yeah, no, Matt Hansen, yeah. I think one of his first recommendations is when it was early in our friendship. One of his first recommendations was The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. You and I actually started watching that together.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, this is a lot like the X-Files episode Ice.
Yeah, it was.
And we started watching it and started getting gross and grosser and disgusting and gory. And we're just like, oh my God, this is revolting. And we turned it off. And then I immediately texted Matt. I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? And he thought I was actually mad at him because it was early in our friendship. So we didn't really know. Like,
no, you're not ever going to be actually mad if you don't like a recommendation.
No.
Except for maybe High Rise.
Except for High Rise. Yeah. If you recommend High Rise to me, we're no longer friends. So I started like giving him crap over iMessage, and he's like, dude, I was just trying to help you out. You know, like, you shouldn't blame, you know, you got so defensive. I was like, dude, I'm just kidding. I'm your buddy.
Well, that kind of brings up, like, you know, sometimes recommendations can be really personal to someone. And so it's kind of like, you know, if you don't like this, then can we be friends?
You don't like me.
Yeah, right?
Like, if you don't like this,
because it's a part of your identity. It's like what you really value. I totally get that.
I recommended Dune, the miniseries, to a friend of ours.
Oh, that's really sacred to you.
And he said that he didn't like it. And I told him, I was like, if you don't like it,
don't tell me.
Don't tell me.
Yeah.
We just won't speak of it again.
Yeah.
And he decided to tell me. And then I adjusted him and told him how he needed to view it. He needed to alter his perception and then watch it again.
Yeah, because you have to be prepared for that, too. I feel like a lot of times when I recommend something, I will say, we like it.
Yeah.
I don't think you necessarily will like it, but we really like it. Yeah.
And sometimes when the reverse happens, people take it as an insult where...
Yes.
Where, like, I say, like, oh, we didn't like it, but you guys probably will. People are like, oh, I guess we like crap then.
It's true. It's so true. Yeah. Or, like... Our family members, I think we've said this before, but we'll say, like, we loved it. You guys probably wouldn't because you're snooty with your movie taste. But
verbatim, they have said that to me.
We
and
like
you.
Both sides.
Both sides.
And I'm like, really? Because we're apparently
harsh.
Snooty. Yeah.
Harsh people.
Yeah. We're harsh critics. That's all right.
But yeah. So, I mean, there's the danger. I mean, have you ever had that situation where you've recommended something and somebody comes to you and goes, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
What, like, do you remember?
Gone Girl.
Who?
Kyle, my brother.
Your brother?
Yeah, he was like, did not like that movie.
I thought he liked it.
I think it was the, I think you watched it with my mom. So that kind of like...
Well, that's your first mistake.
You probably shouldn't have done that.
Don't watch Gone Girl with your parents. What is wrong with you?
And I think the death scene at the end definitely like...
With Desi?
Yeah. Was just like too much for...
Oh, that's another thing that was brilliant. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'll admit that one. That one. Yeah. Again, that wasn't like so freaky that... It wasn't like demented in your head, you know?
Oh, no. She only, you know, slit a throat as they were having sex. Okay. But yeah, whatever. You know, it's no dancing ballerina with no organ.
Well, I have different standards, apparently, of what I find disturbing.
Yeah, you would get fired immediately from Standard and Practices at the
network. Oh, yeah. I know that because I have my own version.
Like, this one's icky.
That's right. Yeah.
One thing that people can never recommend to us is horror.
Yeah.
But Hansen did recommend Halloween to us.
Yeah.
And we liked it, but I don't think for the reasons he liked it.
Yeah.
Like, we saw it as a super cheesy, like really low budget, you know, movie where we just
kind of... classic.
Yeah, it's classic, but like, I don't know, like we kind of just laughed at it. You know, mm-hmm. We're just like, oh, this is crazy.
And yet we like things like The Shining, which is more psychological... You know, I think it's slasher stuff that we don't do.
Yeah, well, yeah, Halloween's very different from
The Shining. It's a very different movie. But I mean, you consider that horror, so. But the horror genre, I mean, I think it depends on the movie for us.
Yeah, I feel like horror today, I feel like I'm more willing to watch a horror movie of old than horror today. Because horror today is just, let's see how gruesome we can get.
Right.
That's what horror is today. But like the days of Halloween and The Shining and everything like that, that was actually psychological. That had suspense and tension and everything like that.
And I like the first Halloween.
Yeah. But the next ones were even more cringeworthy where they're just like, oh my God, this is happening.
Yeah.
And we actually got a hold of H2O.
Yeah, we did.
With Josh Hartnett.
Yeah. That one was a fun watch.
That was fun to make fun of.
Yes.
What else has been recommended to us? Oh, you know how we talked about movies that we promised our family members or our moms that we would never see? Like, I think you talked about Clockwork Orange. I talked about Clockwork Orange.
No, and The Exorcist, those two.
And The Exorcist. Immediately. Like, an hour after it was released, John Mills, co-host of Aggressive Negotiations on the network, texted me and said, dude, you have to watch The Exorcist. And I got, like so many times that we have said this on our show where we're like, oh, we haven't seen this. Inevitably,
of course,
somebody chimes in and says, dude,
you have to watch
blankety blank.
It's true. Yeah. They said that with the Fast and Furious movies too.
Oh my God. John will get upset with me if I make fun of Fast and Furious one more time on their nuptial. So I'm going to refrain. But you're welcome. What else has been recommended to us? Like, what positively have been recommended to us? Did anyone recommend Wreck-It Ralph to us?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it my sister?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been there.
Quite a few.
I don't give my sister enough credit.
Yeah, she recommends a lot of good things.
It's so funny though because our tastes are so wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, she knows what we like.
Right.
I think she knows what we like more so than most people. And I'm blanking right now, but I'm just like, oh, this. We listen to this band because of her. We listen to this band because of her. We watch this movie. We watch this TV show. She recommended a lot of TVs, a lot of movie. And it's funny when that you get that one person where they're like, oh, if they say we'll like it, then we'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this other friend where you're just like, I'm not going to see that. Like, I love you, but I'm not going to see that.
Well, okay. But why do you take certain people's... Is it because of the, you know, the success rate?
That's a big portion of it. I think success rate I'll give everybody a chance.
Yeah.
But if you burn me, I think my limit is very low. Like, if you burn me twice, I'm like, okay, no. Like, I'm not... My time is too valuable. I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting to... You know, I think it's part of it is like knowing your audience of when you do recommend something. Like, just because you like it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to like it. And it might be a really good film, and that doesn't mean that it's not a good film. It just means that, you know, depends on who you are, you know, and where you're coming from.
Absolutely. That is a key thing right there. I'm so glad that you brought that up because that is kind of the crux of it. That's the, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just because you think it's a good movie doesn't mean it's a good movie for everyone.
Right.
And like, you know, just like if you like, oh man, this horror movie is one of the best horror movies that I've ever seen. Like, well, I don't like horror. Well, and then they go, well, you should. You should watch this. And you're like, that's not how it works.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go to someone and say, like, if they tell me, like, I'm not going to say, hey, do you like sci-fi? And they go, oh, no, I don't like it at all. I'm like, well, you got to try Star Trek. You know, right. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just think that's so funny to me because people, you know, like, people who love Marvel, people who love DC or, you know, superhero films, like, they say, like, no, Civil War was one of the greatest things ever. You need to see it. I'm like, oh, I don't like superhero films. I'm like, you're stupid. You know, it's just really funny. Like, what? Why are our movie and TV tastes so personal?
Don't you think it's what you bring to the table?
What do you mean?
Like, what is important to you in your life, or maybe certain moments in your life that you can relate to in the movie? Or even, you know, certain genres that you appreciate more than other genres, or, you know. Because if you think about, like, okay, well, what makes something good to you? You know, if you look at the characters or their situation, maybe it means something to you.
I feel like that was true when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was much more true when I was younger. Because, you know, when you're...
I mean, I'm not saying you have to have sentimental value to everything. I'm not saying that.
Well, no, I understand that. I understand that. But I feel like that can blind us, you know, like when we have that personal connection. Because it's not like we have a personal connection to Zootopia.
Right.
You know, like, right. You know, like it's just like...
But you do have a personal connection to Wrath of Khan.
Yes, I do. Yes, very much so. And I think what I was starting to say with as a young person, you know, like when we're in our formative years, when we're trying to figure out who we are and, you know, where our place is in the world, we read books, we watch movies, we watch TV, we hang out with our friends, we notice their character traits more and like sometimes even mimic them or like piece things together. Like we find this element from this character and add it to our personality, or we like this situation, like this business situation that this character is in. So we might strive for that when we go to college, you know, it's just
this haircut.
Yeah, shut up. That haircut that I still have today. But yeah, like we do that and because we're finding out who we are. And so like I have a book, which is my favorite book of all time, and I've read it cover to cover dozens of times. And when I was a kid, I would tell everyone, you gotta read this book. This is one of the greatest books ever. Completely disregarding their personal tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd come back and they're like, yeah, that wasn't so good, Tristan. And then I'd get angry because I'm like, well, if you're insulting this book, you're insulting me. Then I got mature and grew out of that, unlike many others online, where just because somebody doesn't like something, it doesn't mean they're trying to slap you in the face.
Right.
And so that book, I'm not going to recommend that to everybody.
Was it Dune?
No, it wasn't Dune.
Oh, okay.
But I'm smart enough to realize that, oh, this is probably not this person's taste. So I'm not going to recommend it because I don't want to set them up. I don't want to set that book up to fail.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm just still figuring it out.
You're still figuring it out? So you're still that individual who's like, well, if you don't like it, you're stupid.
No. I mean, like, forming, you know, what you do like. Mm-hmm. I think that happens all the time. Whenever I watch a movie, I'm like, I like this because of this reason. I like this because of this reason. I don't like that because of this reason.
And I think that kind of, I mean, this wasn't really the message that I was going for when we started this topic, but this is the benefit of trying new things.
Yeah.
Is that it will open you up to other things. Like, if we... you know, like if you didn't read this book, you know, you might have never known that you love mystery novels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, or if you didn't see this TV show, you would have had no idea that you love over the top dramas. You know, like it's
right.
And so it opens up this new world. And so by denying ourselves experimentation, denying ourselves, you know, like new forms of media or new things, we're closing a big corner of the world to ourselves.
Because you don't know if you don't like it or
not. You have no idea, and you won't know unless you try.
Right.
Now, there are certain things where...
That you know that you don't like.
You know that you're not going to like it.
Right.
Like you see the trailer, and you're just like, ooh, well, you know, like, a woman's getting sexually assaulted and a dude's head gets chopped off, probably not for me, you know?
Like, right, right. I mean, there's a limit, you know, and you don't have to expose yourself to everything.
I'm glad that you, yes, that's the thing, is that, like, trying new things and experimenting with new things doesn't mean exposing yourself to everything.
Right.
I hate it when, like, people say, like, oh, I'll try anything once. No, you don't need to try everything once. That is a horrible idea. Dissect that phrase and think about it. Horrible. I hate it when people think just because it's a saying, it must be true.
Right.
No, this is not true. You do not need to try everything once. You know, evaluate what you like and evaluate what you might like and try it. Just try something new.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think another reason why we take it so personally is if we don't like something, we're like, wow, that's 2 hours that we wasted on our weekend. Where we only have a few of those free hours.
That's true.
And also, we're just like, what do you think of me? Like, how do you view me to think that I would have liked this?
Yeah, and that's where you go personal. And
that's where it gets, you know, personal, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that, for sure.
All right. Well, I have to ask you one question.
Okay.
And I hope you give me a positive answer.
You hope that I'm open?
Yeah, I'm hoping that you're open to trying new things.
To new recommendations?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Are you open to watching that?
I am open to watching that.
Fantastic. Right answer. I know, yes. Because
I will go a step further and tell you, I know, I'm going to blow your mind. I would not mind starting Next Gen.
The movies?
No, the TV show.
Oh, the TV show?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Listeners, you just witnessed history. Mark this date in your calendars. I'm all tingly right now.
I'm not saying that I will like it, but I'm going to give it a chance.
Well, I'm going to kiss your sweet mouth so you stop saying such ridiculous things. All right. Well, before we go, and before I jump across this table and kiss you on the mouth, one thing that I want to talk about is we have a new partner, and we've talked about this a couple of weeks now, and I am so excited about this partner because this is one of those things, this is one of those deals that is perfect for our listenership. There's certain times, like, you know, we could have, you know, tied with a grocery store, you know, like a local grocery store, like, hey, you know, like...
It's a really random choice.
I don't know why. That was the first thing that came to mind. It's like say it's an online grocery store where you get your groceries delivered.
Saying.
Yeah, like Peapod. We could have, you know, got with Peapod, and then people are like, why, you know, why does this matter to me as the audience? This does, and that's lootcrate.com. Loot Crate is a fantastic service. Like, guys, you need to try this out. This is such a cool service where you get a box every single month. It's a subscription service. And so in this box is filled with a plethora of geek material that you will be able to cherish for the rest of your life. And we're talking about Pop Funko vinyls, T-shirts, pins, action figures, all this cool geek stuff, and you get it at an amazing price. You get double, like, it's half the cost but double the value of what you get, and so you're saving money by doing this. But there's a mystery to it, and so it's kind of like, oh, what are we going to get this month? But you know the theme every single month, and you have until the 19th to figure out if you want that box. And if you type in, if you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty and type in the code nerdparty, you will save money on your subscription and you'll help out the show.
That's right.
Again, that's lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Enter in the code nerdparty and you will have a great time. Cancel anytime and you have nothing to lose.
That's right. Fun.
So, as always, we ask you to write us a review. If you like the show, write us a review. And if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the podcast. And you can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com, or you can visit our website at thenerdparty.com. You can find me on Twitter at TheInsaneRobin. And you can also find our other shows. You can find The Senate Floor, our General Geek podcast, which I host with Matt Hansen and Lee Hutchison. And we also have a Star Wars podcast on the network, goes by the name of Aggressive Negotiations, hosted by Matt Rushing and John Mills. And everyone should check it out because it's a good time. All right. Well, that's a wrap. That's episode 19. And I friggin' love you.
I know.